Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, it's complicated, the social lives of network teens. That's the title of Dana Boyd's new book. She is one of the most knowledgeable people around on teen life and family life in the digital era, and she will join us. And is music criticism broken? A debate has broken out on Twitter over whether writing about rock and pop and hip hop has become too much about lifestyle and too little about the tunes themselves. Jody Rosen from New York Magazine defends modern music crit on today's show. And we'll talk about the problems with City Bike. Just when you thought this was the biggest thing going, it turns out it's hemorrhaging money and perhaps may not even survive. So we'll talk about City Bike later today and its fate. But first, here's a switch. The have-nots are more optimistic than the haves, at least when it comes to the future of New York City. You probably heard the headline from this week's Quinnipiac poll about Mayor de Blasio's job approval rating going down in his first few months in office. But I looked more deeply into the numbers and found something I think is really interesting. Blacks and Latinos not only approve more of the mayor's job performance than whites, Black and Latino New Yorkers are also more optimistic about the future of the city than whites are right now, even though income inequality is massively distributing more wealth to the city's white residents. Here are some of the numbers. On optimism, 81% of blacks optimistic about the city for the next 4 years, 69% of Latinos, only 51% of whites. Looks like Asians were not broken out separately, as far as I can tell. Maybe the sample was too small in the 1,200-person poll. But then I looked at income stats by race. Nationally, whites earn about twice as much as blacks on average, fully double. And in terms of household wealth, a staggering 6-to-1 white-to-black ratio, up from 4-to-1 before the financial crisis, according to numbers from the Urban Institute. That's nationally. As for New York, according to CUNY stats released last year, whites make up 37% of the city population but get 50% of the income. Blacks are 24% of the population but get only 16% of the income. Latinos, similarly, 26% of the population, 18% of the income in New York City. Asians, interestingly, are 13% of the city and make 13% of the income. So on average, by these very broad racial groupings, whites remain the relative haves, blacks and Latinos the relative have-nots in America and New York City. So isn't that interesting? The have-nots are more optimistic than the haves, at least right now, at least right here. Listeners, are you more optimistic or less optimistic about the future of the city since Mayor de Blasio took office? 212-433-WNYC. And how do you think your own circumstances or your own demographics feed your optimism level? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Let's build our own Brian Lehrer Show New York City Optimism Index right now. And we do want you to identify yourselves demographically in any way, income, race, or whatever you think is relative or relevant to how you see the future of the city, 212-433-9692, if you're willing to play on this. And here to discuss it is Maurice Mickey Carroll, assistant director of the Quinnipiac Poll and a longtime city politics watcher. Hiya, Mickey. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. I haven't been in the lawn in a long time, and this is interesting. And you're the only one who spotted the positive minor element in a pretty negative poll for de Blasio. It's an interesting number. And I'll give you a couple of more on the optimism business. The only negatives are in demographically are Republicans. Hey, they don't like de Blasio. And believe it or not, Staten Island. For some reason, Staten Island is more pessimistic than the other boroughs.
Wait, isn't saying New York City Republican and Staten Island the same thing?
Pretty much the same thing. I think so, Brian. Yeah, and don't forget the optimism numbers. And that was interesting the way you looked into them, because most people haven't. The optimism numbers tend to mirror the election numbers. In other words, de Blasio did not win among white voters, but black voters loved him, and so did to a slightly less extent, Hispanic voters. So that the optimism comes from the people who won the election.
Makes sense. Common sense.
And it's interesting. And if you look at de Blasio's, the Quinnipiac numbers early on, the issues sort of indicated that people who are the racial, well, they're not minorities anymore, the ideological, the racial groupings, blacks and Hispanics, the poorer people, the less educated people and so forth, the ones who voted for de Blasio are that they see what he's doing and they like it. The people who voted against him see what he's doing and don't like it so much. So it's I think that it's an interesting poll. Quinnipiac came up with the what do you call it? optimism numbers, mm-hmm. but they reflect a lot of other numbers, which is to say the political results.
Sure, and it makes sense. If a person you put into office by voting for him, and since you think that person would represent your issues, your interests, if they're in office, then you're going to be more optimistic than somebody who didn't vote for that candidate. But you know what I'm curious about, Mickey? Quinnipiac asked the optimism question before? And if so, do you see a change in who's optimistic and who's not de Blasio took office?
No, we haven't done that, but it seems to me logical. And sort of, in a way, Brian, look, you're a New Yorker. It's sort of hopeful that overall New Yorkers think, hey, it's going to be a pretty good 4 years. Even the ones who didn't vote for de Blasio, even the ones who are on specific issues, and as you know, the Quinnipiac numbers on the carriage horses, on the tax the rich, all that stuff, they're negative for de Blasio. But overall, New Yorkers take a look around and say, hey, you know, we think it's going to be a pretty good 4 years. And that, as a New York citizen, is, to me, a very encouraging and sort of warming trait.
And if you look at the policies the new mayor has enacted so far, yeah, even though optimism doesn't put food on anyone's table or lettuce in their wallets, if you look at the policies the new mayor has enacted so far, paid sick leave for low-income workers, signed yesterday, universal full-day pre-K, which he won instantly in Albany for all the public hand-wringing about which money spigot will pay for it and whether Cuomo or he is the top dog, he won that issue instantly.
Well, Robert, Brian, you know, stop and think. Do you know anybody other than some peculiar, odd person who doesn't think that pre-K is a good thing? Everybody thinks it's a good thing.
Yeah, but the issue, but everybody thought it was a good thing last year, too, and the year before that, and it wasn't a political priority to spend money on that as the central organizing principle of fighting inequality.
Absolutely.
So he ran on that, he won on that, and he got Governor Cuomo to immediately say, I'm going to give you all the money you need to do this.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to fund it my way. So he won.
Oh, absolutely, Brian. You're in other words, it seems to me that de Blasio in making he whether it was smart or dumb to tie it to this tax the rich business is an open question for politicians. But the idea that to educate kids as quickly and as early and as young as you can, who on earth could be against it? But what de Blasio did was put it on the table, and you got to give him credit for it.
So I'm just saying, paid sick leave for low-income workers, universal full-day pre-K, which primarily benefits lower-income people because the people with more money were already putting their kids into private pre-K, getting more affordable housing into the Domino Sugar Factory development plan, settling the stop-and-frisk lawsuit, I could go on, poorer people in the city who, unfortunately, Quinnipiac can measure in a very rough way by race, are being targeted for government help in new kinds of ways. Did you ask the optimism question by income?
Brian, what I'll tell you, you as every knowledgeable person in the news business get our handouts, our releases, 8.5 by 11. But we measure everything under the sun. And when you want to know, how does it rank borough by borough, age?
Do you have that one? Do you happen, Mickey? Do you have it at your fingertips?
I don't.
How optimism breaks down by income?
No, I don't have it. But I think that your rough division, which is a black, white, and Hispanic, probably is is an accurate measure. Because the look, de Blasio is he ran on a liberal platform. He has decided to be a liberal mayor, and obviously, people who are of a liberal persuasion are very, very happy with him. And as a matter of fact, New York City, for all our screaming and yelling and storm and wrong, New York is a pretty liberal city. I don't think you're going to find very many people who would be against raising the minimum wage, other than the people who have to pay it. So no, de Blasio, my job, as you know, part of my job is to assess the poll, the results, the Quinnipiac results. And I thought that the results were so-so. Whereas the reporters took a very negative view of all of the things we found. And I thought that I thought it was a little better than
the
press
interpretation. Yeah, because the honeymoon is a little bit over after a few months, but that's going to happen when anybody actually does anything in office. And the numbers
and
are not that bad.
Elected. Let's remember that.
Right. Amy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Amy.
Hi, I am white. I earn good money. And I am very offended by de Blasio. I don't have a problem with his policies. I think he's turned it into war against people who, for whatever reason, hard work or luck, do very, very well. I think he's also a major hypocrite because he lives in Park Slope and owns a home. And I think he toned down the rhetoric on rich versus poor.
On the hypocrisy.
I don't object to being taxed more.
On the hypocrisy. Is it hypocritical to advocate policies that you see as in the interest of the poor just because you yourself have some money?
I don't find it a problem that he has money and wants to tax people. I have a problem with him targeting people and turning it, and it's almost like you want to hang your head down now.
You don't like the tone.
I don't like the tone. I don't object to paying more taxes. I just don't like the tone.
And on the optimism question, how would you rate yourself? Mickey, in fact, ask Amy the question the way Quinnipiac posed it. Do you remember the wording?
No, I'll look it up. Very question. Amy, are you generally optimistic or pessimistic about the next 4 years with Bill de Blasio as mayor? How do you feel, Amy?
I'm pessimistic. I did not vote for him only because I didn't live here then. But being a real liberal, I probably would have voted for him with great trepidation.
So what do you think about the next 4 years?
But you're pessimistic because of the things you talked about before. You don't like
And also, the very fact that the Upper East Side, and I remember it was not plowed in the first snowstorm, I don't for 1 minute believe that he told them not to. I believe that he told them to do us last. And now he lives on the Upper East Side, so let's see what happens.
Amy, I think you're in the minority, but you're certainly a responsible lady.
But she may not be in the minority of her demographic. Tim on Roosevelt Island, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good. You want to tell us your answer to the optimism question for the next 4 years and put yourself in context a little bit?
Well, I'm black, basically bottom of the heap here. I'm optimistic because, unfortunately, when I looked at a Bloomberg, I always thought he always said, you know, oh, I was poor once. Yeah, but it seemed like you forgot what it felt like to be poor. It's like he always sneered at me, you know. You know, a bit of hypocritical at me. You know, you're always saying, like, what his roots were, but it seemed like he seemed to forgot it.
It's so interesting because here, if we accept that both mayors have been doing things that they really think are in the interest of the city.
Absolutely.
Amy hears de Blasio as sneering at her. You heard Bloomberg as sneering at you, and you both use the word hypocritical. Are you more optimistic for your own, let's say, household finances or your own general well-being because de Blasio is mayor?
Yes, basically I have to go with my own well-being because I'm generally homeless right now. Well, you know, the ideal basically just to find a job and get myself on some kind of financial footing. But other than that,
and yet you would answer Mickey's question. Did I understand you correctly? You would answer the Quinnipiac question. Are you generally optimistic about the city over the next 4 years? As yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Tim, thank you
very
much.
Say Quinnipiac. Do me a favor. Say Irish. Quinn.
First.
Quinnipiac.
First syllable emphasis. Quinnipiac.
There you go. You're terrific.
I've only been doing this for how many years reporting on your polls?
And I don't know.
Maybe I'll get the pronunciation right.
Well, you're one of our good friends.
Soon. Eloise in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hello, Eloise.
Hi there.
Optimistic about the next 4 years?
Absolutely. I work in as a community organizer here in Brooklyn. I'm in social work school at the moment at Hunter College. And yesterday we brought quite a few young people from Bushwick School for Social Justice to the city chambers. And we talked about a program called Lunch for Learning. We met the mayor de Blasio outside, and he stopped and spoke to all of these young people and encouraged them to keep putting their voice in the democratic system. And, I mean, of course, that's an anecdote, but his policies address pretty serious inequalities that go beyond, I think, rhetoric and absolutely affect people's lives in pretty, pretty substantial ways. I'm a white, middle-class person, but with some hope for equity in New York.
Thank you very much. And let's go right to Jason in Brooklyn. Jason, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. How are you, Brian?
Good morning. What do you think?
I've been listening to this conversation for some time now, and I've heard it on other media outlets also. And I don't know much about this polling because, first of all, they don't call me. and secondly, I'm not sure that it's very fair. But I get this feeling that even with your line of questioning or throwing questions, like I'm black, I'm not white. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm feeling like, Where is all this coming from? Because it's becoming like a almost like a Paxlovid against Bed-Stuy. And I'm not saying anything bad about those things, but it's becoming a black and white issue, a poor and rich issue. First of all, rich folks ain't got nothing to worry about. And like your woman that called earlier, there's nothing to worry about. I mean, you're still going to be rich. He's not coming after your money or anything else like that. And that the education background that he wants to get passed, is fair. It's always been his contention, as I understand it, that kids need to have proper education. Also, the public schools need not to be phased out in for a charter school. And I get this whole thing that it's going around in a circle, but we're pitting you against us and me against you, and it's the line of questioning that makes it really hard for me to take.
Well, I acknowledge that I looked at the numbers and saw the racial breakdown in the poll and thought, isn't that interesting that the optimism seems to run in the opposite direction of who has and who doesn't have money relatively, and how that's, you know, to some degree a surrogate for race, and the question was asked by race in the actual poll. So it was there, and I've chosen to emphasize that angle.
When you emphasize things like that, then you pick, look,
Ryan, let me
interject. Wait, let Jason have a sec. Jason,
yeah,
go ahead.
Jason, hang on, just a second. Because we do, Jason is right that in saying blacks believe this, whites believe that, it does sort of pit one group. But that's the only way that a pollster can do anything is in groups. I mean, you're an individual, Jason. I'm an individual. But in order to have some meaningful measure, we divide them into groups, but that is not the way the nation is set up. We're not groups. We're people.
Right, exactly, and that's more my point. If we're more like people, then it's fair to say Mayor de Blasio just was elected 3 months ago. He's mm-hmm. having difficulty getting things done. What do you think about that? As opposed to saying to somebody, well, you know, he's been in office for 3 months, and he didn't. The plows didn't plow the Upper East Side. You
right.
see what I'm saying?
Well, the question
was,
question was, are you optimistic? But
yes.
Jason, do you think, don't you, that in order to fight the racial disparities in this country, that we need to acknowledge racial differences by income and by public opinion?
I don't know so much. It's by income. I don't know that, because once you throw income into it, you automatically pit one against the other, because then it becomes rich and poor, black and white, straight across the board. why aren't we talking like how we can get together in the city and live together, as opposed to being people that are constantly looking at our wallet to be based on that makes us a good person? Because I'm sitting across the street from BAM right now. If I want to get an apartment here, it's going to cost me an arm and a leg. You know what I'm saying? So now that if I don't have that, I am considered, you know, a poor person, and I'm not as affluent and as educationally smart as the people in Park Slope.
Park Slope. I like how you say it. Jason, thank you very much. You raised some really important issues, and I'm glad that you called. And I think and I hope that a lot of what we do on this show is to talk about how we can bring people together. Today we're analyzing poll data, which I think is an important conversation, with Mickey Carroll, Assistant Director of the Quinnipiac poll.
Oh, Brian, thank you. Let me add, if I may, he's absolutely right that in the sense that polls look at groups, it does sort of divide. It does, but it's the only practical way to assess anything.
And it's not the only practical way, in my opinion, but it's one important practical way.
Well, if you're measuring groups, that's the important way. Obviously, you and I are individuals. I don't know how you're going to vote. You don't know how I'm going to vote. But as a group, a poll will look at them. But in that sense, and I work for a poll, but in that sense, a poll is ever so slightly irresponsible in that it does divide us into groups when we're not really groups, we're individuals.
So let's conclude with a little lightning round on some of the other findings in the poll, okay?
Okay, you bet.
Just for fun. Police Commissioner Bill Bratton is more approved of than the mayor, with a 53% approval rating compared to de Blasio's 45. Wasn't that always the case with Ray Kelly compared to Bloomberg, too?
Yep. The only time that a police commissioner goes down is when there's some terrible incident involving cops. By and large, police commissioners are more popular than mayors. I remember years ago when Quinnipiac did this, and Bratton, Bratton came out ahead of Giuliani, which annoyed Giuliani considerably. I don't know if this annoyed de Blasio or not, but there it is.
I don't think it does, actually. But, yeah, that was one of the reasons Bratton was let go after just a couple of years under Giuliani, despite his broad success, because there was a clash of egos and who was getting credit. All right, did you test specific de Blasio policies for approval?
No, you mean the stop and frisk and so forth? No, we didn't. But we did that in earlier polls, Brian. Stop and frisk was not popular in New York the way it was run. Bratton's going to be doing stop and frisk. Everybody, every cop does. But whether he'll do it in a different way or in a constitutional way, a popular way, I don't know. But no, we didn't. We haven't done the specific policies because, you know, Brian, they've only been in office less than 3 months. Let's give them a little time to see how things work out.
And did you find he polls well in general? I mean, you did find he polls well in general on important indicators like leadership, honesty, and cares about people like me, the empathy question, right?
The standard pollster questions, leadership, cares about people. The standard pollster questions, and in each case, de Blasio came out pretty well.
Anything else?
No, Brian. As I just said, that this is one where usually, look, I used to be a reporter. Usually, I agree with reporters, but in this case, I thought the reporters looked at the poll and saw a little slightly more harsh picture than I saw.
Mickey Carroll, Maurice Carroll, Assistant Director of Quinnipiac University.
Brian, you're a good man.
Paul, Christine Quinn had an unfair bias in your poll. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Assemblyman Francisco Moya from Queens on the apparent defeat of the New York State DREAM Act. Will it be revived before the end of the functional state legislature session in 2 weeks? Stay with us.